How we doing? How we been? Welcome back to the Space with Spo show. Today's episode is brought to you by Space with Spo, the only place on the internet where you can get space news with unfiltered original comedy. Today's episode is all about UFOs. We were joined by Vinny from the Disclosure team. So go ahead and sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Dash a digi, the schedule busy, my head in a hoodie, my shorty a goodie, my cousins are crazy, my cousins like boogie, life is amazing, it is what it should be, been here for 10, but I feel like a rookie, I tell her look up, cause it's snowing in tussies, but for 3 years, man, you can't even book me, it's me and little baby, the going
live
crazy.
Live from Murray Hill, Manhattan, you are now listening to Space with Spo.
All right, we're live, ladies and gentlemen, we have a big episode for you today. Today we're diving into UFOs, and we got Vinny from the Disclosure team. Vinny, how you doing? How you been?
I'm doing real good, brother. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been looking forward to speaking to you for some time now, so thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Vinny. How was your vacation? You just got back from vacation. How was that?
It was real good, man. I was away for a week with the family, just chilling. I've only been back like 4 days. I already feel the busy schedule creeping back in, but yep, it's good, yep. Man, it's all good.
Yeah, well, we missed you while you were gone, guys. So for the people that don't know you, Vinny, why don't you tell a little bit more about yourself and about the disclosure team?
Yeah, so really I've always been into sort of studying UFOs. I was never satisfied with just following documentaries and leaving it at that. I always wanted to dig in a little bit deeper and get more clarification, or, you know, a bit more evidence and proof of all these crazy things that they were showing in these wicked documentaries. They were awesome. So, you know, for the last decade, that was what I was doing. And then, you know, I started on Instagram probably about a year ago, something like that. And all of a sudden I just found that people were just interested in seeing what I was posting. And literally in the last 6 months, it's blown up so big. I've got a couple of YouTube channels now, and yeah, it's sort of turned into a job.
Yeah, and I found you right in like the heat of when the UFO report was dropping. Do you think that like things kind of turned up a notch there? I mean, everybody was searching for UFOs online.
Yeah, just from January right up until June, I just kept seeing this growth, more people talking about it who had probably not really even touched on the subject before. And it was so good to see people, like normal people, just talking about it without feeling like there's some ridicule or some stigma attached. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, right when we've had our first conversation, so Vinny goes live like pretty much every night. And I think that's one of the coolest things about your account. You keep everybody up to date, and you also go live with the people, right? Like, I love how you say the Disclosure team, like there's Disclosure colleagues, right? Like, we're all on the same team. I love that. Where did you get that idea to like involve the community?
Well, the thing is, it's always just been me doing it. And then I changed the name of the page from its original name to Disclosure team. And I wanted to incorporate everyone that was following me into that team. And that's why I go live and speak to people who follow me, because I want them to feel that their opinion is just as important as my opinion and things like that. I'm no one different to them just because I run the page. And then I spoke to Lou Elizondo, and we were talking, and I said, oh, my followers. And he said, he really doesn't like the word followers. Could we use the word colleague instead? I was like, yep, Lou, no problem, man. And so that's where it kind of grew from. And
that's now amazing.
It's my colleagues.
That's great. So now let's pick up right where we left off on our last live. The UFO report comes out on a Friday at what, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. What are your initial thoughts on the report? I dropped like an 8-minute video about it, so my listeners know a little bit about it. But what are some things you liked about the report, and what are some things that you're like, oh, shit, that sucks?
I mean, I think it's good that we got something, full stop. You know, in the 6 months that we knew it was coming, or we knew that there was a classified version going into the Congress and other areas, we knew that. Now, I always keep my expectations low so that if anything good comes out, then I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
So there was talk in the days leading up to the actual drop that we might get something dripped out a week later, but then it actually turned up on the day, and I was there the moment it dropped. I was refreshing my page. I was instantly disappointed with the size, you know, 9 pages, 3 of which were appendixes and the head, you know, the header page. So 6 pages, no photos, no videos. So zero. That was a disappointment. But upon reading it a few times, there are little positives that I could pull out of it, like who's looking at what direction it might be going in, and that it was quite clear that this wasn't the end of what they were going to be bringing out in the future. So I still think there are things to come in the future. It's just a case of when and what.
Yeah. What do you think about the new five categories? And what do you specifically think about the other category? I think that's terrifying. I think whatever is underneath that other category is absolutely terrifying. That's what nightmares are made of.
I don't know, man. I tend to not look at it like that. I think the other category is the best category on there because that's the one that will contain the things we want to know about. I don't think it's scary. I don't think it's going to be anything that we haven't already hypothesized or theorized. Mm-hmm. It's just a case of, I don't think the government or the military or anyone in the Pentagon, DOD, all of those groups know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. So I think that's half the reason why they didn't say too much as well, because they don't know. There might be a few people from decades ago who have read into these special access programs that may hold a few answers, but yeah, I think there's a lot more out there than we anticipated.
So now, as you've been, you know, like bouncing around the UFO side of the internet the past couple of weeks, what's the update with the classified version of the report? Last I heard from something, it was either a post on your site or somebody else's, is that it was like a 73-page document with like 9 videos. Is that still accurate? Like, what are you hearing around the internet there?
It keeps changing, to be honest. John Greenwald from the Black Vault, he is renowned for writing into the government with freedom of information requests, and he's very good at it. Now, he got a response a week or two ago saying that the classified version was only 17 pages, which everyone was like, that's bizarre. And then we get Lou Elizondo, who's pretty sure it's, I think he said 74 pages with 14 videos and numerous photos as well. Then we have Danny Sheehan, who is the lawyer for Lou Elizondo, previously the lawyer for Stephen Greer, saying it's 400 pages. 400. It just cannot be confirmed. So it's still up in the air.
Do you think we're ever going to get that? You think we might be, we have to get like a leaked version, right? There's no way that could stay confidential.
Absolutely. I think we'll get leaks. Now, whether it's the whole classified report, whether it's some of the videos or photos that are attached to that the UAP task force were looking into, there's got to be something coming. I'm quite confident of that.
Yeah. And now, okay, speaking of the UFO footage, what is the update with the famous black triangle photo that I've been trying to find? I can't find it anywhere. Guys, apparently there is rumors of a clear as day black triangle coming out of the water next to a ship. Is that correct?
I'll break it down a little bit for you because that's all we heard a few months back when it first was mentioned. And I can't remember who mentioned it first. It may have been Lou. But what was first said, but there was this picture of a triangle coming out of the ocean taken from the backseat of an F-18. So the guy who sits behind the pilot supposedly took it with his iPhone, which turns out not to be true. It was actually taken by an onboard system on board the F-18, which means it's buried now in an even deeper classified annex due to the sensitivity of the system that caught the photo. And it isn't actually of the triangle leaving the water. They saw the triangle leaving the water, but the picture wasn't taken till it hit about 40,000 feet. Wow. So that's the detail, but I don't know who's seen it, where it's buried, or even if we'll ever get to see it.
Yeah, I hope we do. I think it's time for new footage, right? I mean, speaking of that, what, just off the top of your head, what's your favorite piece of evidence footage wise that's come out in the, let's keep it to the United States. Okay. So what's one of your favorite either Navy videos or pieces of evidence video wise that you've seen of a UAP / UFO?
I mean, I am a big fan of the 3 Navy videos and people usually complain saying they're blurry and they're black and white. But what the people need to realize is that all the information and data that comes with stuff that is caught on forward-looking infrared, you get to see the object, you get to see how it moves and what it does, but then you also get all the data, times, locations, just so much more data to be able to study. If you were to get just simply a 4K image or video, there's no data there. It's just, you've got to believe what you see on the screen. And we all know how easy and good people are at manipulating things these days with, you know, video editing software. But then my favorite piece of video at the moment, this is something I posted recently, is a forward-looking infrared video of an A-10 Warthog being chased by a UAP.
I saw that, yeah.
That is my favorite because I think there's more information to come out on that in the future, I hope anyway.
Now, question. What do you say about the people that believe that the Navy or who's ever in possession of these videos might be like almost blurring these things on purpose, right? There's people out there that don't believe that this is our best shot, right? There's a lot of people that are like, oh, well, satellites can read license plates off, you know, your car. What do you have to say to that? Where, what's your opinion on that?
I mean, the Navy videos aren't the best quality that is out there. We know, and I've spoken to people who were on board, the Nimitz and the Princeton, and they saw that footage the day or the day after it was taken. And it was a much cleaner, more high definition version. Now,
really?
Yeah. But unfortunately, just through sharing across internet and social media, things get compressed. And so eventually the quality is going to just continue to get worse. So these videos have been confirmed by the Pentagon to be genuine. They've been confirmed by people I've spoken to. I've done enough digging on them to know that they're legit. Then you've got big outlets like the SCU, the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies, have done in-depth evaluations on this footage, and it's legit. So, you know, no one should ever think that it's just something to throw us off the real scent, because it's the truth, man.
Did you ever see yourself, like 10 years ago, speaking to some of the most influential people in the UFO community, right? Like, you've connected with Lou Elizondo. He actually just spoke with Avi Loeb, the Harvard scientist who studied Oumuamua, our first interstellar visitor. 10 years ago, could you ever see yourself where you are today, you know, speaking to these massive people in the UFO world?
No, I mean, 2017, when this all kind of blew up and and Lou Elizondo was revealed to be the man behind the program in the Pentagon, I wouldn't have imagined it in 2017. But I wouldn't have imagined it in January of this year. 6 months ago, I would have laughed at anyone that suggested I'd be doing that. And so it's all happened so quick, and I'm just rolling with it, you know, just going with the flow, you know.
Now, running this page and doing what you're doing with your account, I'm sure you have a lot of arguments going on in the comments. I'm sure you have a lot of doubters. You have a lot of people who are really passionate about this, right? So you got people on the left, people on the right, people in the middle. How do you stay home? And how do you stay like, I'm not going to go down that way, or, you know, I want this to be respectable here? Like, how do you basically be the moderator that you need to be in this situation?
There's different levels, you know. There are people that really come on there and just put forward their opinion. And I say, that's absolutely fine, but make sure that it comes across as an opinion, because if you're trying to push it as a fact, automatically either myself or someone else is going to go, okay, we'll show us some evidence or something to back up this fact that you're stating. And that normally clears things up quite quickly. Yeah, some people just end up going a bit too far and getting abusive, but it's the same in everything with social media, you know. So again, everyone is welcome to their opinions, and I always say that, and I'm very open to discussions and debates, but people just have to remain respectful, show some dignity and some class, and just don't revert to being hostile or abusive. And yeah, I kind of let the comments run themselves these days, because I'm too busy to get involved.
100%. Speaking of the arguments and debates in between the UFO community, what would you say is the biggest argument or debate going down right now within the community? I know a man by the name of Stephen Greer had a movie that just come out that a lot of people agree with, a lot of people don't. Do you mind just explaining, like, in the simplest way possible, in like a minute, what Stephen Greer stands for and how that's different from just the regular UFO community, if that's even possible?
Yeah, I'll try. I'll try and keep it short as well. About, I think it was 2001, Stephen Greer brought forward a lot of ex-military witnesses who were involved with UFO subjects in government, or when they were in the military, they witnessed something. And he put on this press conference that really brought this field to the mainstream in a way, with some very credible people. And then over the years, he's put out various documentaries with this very, very positive message of peace, which is absolutely fantastic. Over the last few years, we've seen him separate himself away from everything that's going on at the moment. And he's kind of pushing this agenda based upon things that Wernher von Braun, the guy who headed NASA's rocket programs, the ex-Nazi, pushing messages about a fake alien invasion that the government are gonna do. And it just doesn't have any backup for me or any details or evidence. And then he's attacking people like Lou Elizondo, Christopher Mellon, all the other guys on the other side. He's really kind of going for them. And then the recent documentary you mentioned was very manipulated, in my opinion. He put out interviews with people on there that had been altered to the point where people have come out afterwards with statements saying, really? I was not represented right in that documentary. It was cut to cleverly look like people agreed with Dr. Greer, whereas in fact they weren't agreeing. And then he uses questionable photographs of, you know, what he would say is an alien body being looked at by surgeons and stuff, where in fact they're Egyptian mummies and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who still won't. You look at it how I do, and a lot of other people who I'm friends with. But again, that's fine. Everyone's welcome to their opinion. All I will say is watch the documentary, but then do some research, do some digging. Mm-hmm.
So guys, Stephen Greer also has this method, I guess you can call it, of speaking or communicating with extraterrestrials, right? Or extraterrestrial intelligence. And it's called CE5. Now, do you believe in CE5? Have you ever tried it?
I've never tried it. No. CE5, or Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, is basically human-initiated contact with an extraterrestrial civilization. This has been something that's been done and talked about and things like that for decades, if not hundreds of years. What Stephen Greer has done is he's repackaged something which is really a form of meditation. He's packaged it with a brand name, CE5, and charged people, I don't know, something like $13 to download his app and use his specific protocols. So it's really just him, again, trying to make a quick buck out of something that could well be true. I've not tried it. I know a lot of people who do work along with that kind of thing. It is something I'm going to try and touch on a bit more in the future when I get some time. But again, I'm not going to go down the Greer route. I'm going to go down other avenues of that subject.
Yeah. Yeah. I can believe in that too. I want to try it. I really do. I want to get some buddies out there. You know, I want to try it. Why not? What, literally there's nothing to lose, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
You got nothing to lose.
Yeah, man.
You believe, or what's your opinion on these craft being intelligently controlled? What do you have to say about that?
I mean, we can see from videos like the Navy videos that they are under some kind of intelligent control, and the speeds, the maneuvers that they're doing are clearly something that we do not have the capability of. It's hundreds to, if not thousands of years in advance of our technology and the current path that we're on as far as advancing the stuff that we can create as a human race. Now, the real question comes down is to where they're coming from. It cannot now be just seen as extraterrestrial, like they're traveling, you know, light years across space. There's a lot more hypotheses on interdimensional, ultra-terrestrial, crypto-terrestrial, all these new phrases that are now being thrown around alongside extraterrestrial. And that's where we're really going to have to start looking into the research.
Wait, what's crypto? You said crypto-terrestrial? What the hell is that?
Yeah. Crypto-terrestrial is something that is here on Earth already. So it could be deep in the oceans. Uh-huh. It could be hidden away, you know, but it's here on Earth. So it could be, you know, people have hypothesized about inner Earth and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't follow that one particularly, but the deep ocean dwelling beings is a huge possibility, whether it be physically there under the oceans or if they're coming through portals under the ocean. So many things, so many theories, they've all got to remain on the table until they're proven to be false or not mm-hmm. true.
Do you tend to lean towards any specific theory offline?
Sometimes I feel like when I'm doing some research, I may feel like I'm going in one direction. I think this sounds more plausible than that. But then I'm quite easily get to a brick wall and then it just throws that out the water. That's why I have to keep doing it all the time, just because, you know, there's no end to this work.
100%. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
So now, okay, this is a funny question. You are speaking to the entire planet, okay? You have a podium and you have a Microsoft PowerPoint. Which case are you pulling up on that PowerPoint? You have everybody's ears. You have 100 billion people listening to you. What is the one case that you are pulling up to share the story of an unidentified aerial phenomenon actually being here on this planet? What's the one case you'd present?
I mean, I'd need one with like video or photographic evidence. So I'd have to go with something like the Nimitz case. Purely because of the video, then I'd be able to show the analysis behind the video that many people have done and the scientific papers that have been, done on the research behind the case to really show that it's something anomalous. But I would also consider talking about the Roswell case because, you know, that's one that's been studied since, 1947. And, you know, there's a lot of data and evidence, a lot of testimony, yes, there's no photos or anything, but you know, it's a toss up between an old case and a new case. With a new case, you've got more physical, like you can see a photo or a video. But if you're going back a lot further, you don't have that. But then you have a lot more in-depth study.
Yeah, I love
question, dude.
Yeah, I love the Nimitz case. I really do. I love the four pilots seeing it. I love everybody that's come out and said about it. And my favorite thing is that these are not UFO people. These are not like alien believers. They were put in a situation where they had to identify an object, and it is truly an unidentified tic tac, actually.
Absolutely. I mean, these are trained observers. Yeah. They know what they're seeing, and when they see something anomalous, it's going to stand out really badly.
I'm curious, have you been put in a position where you have disqualified a case at all in the recent years? Like, have you had enough evidence where you're like, you know what, that's bullshit?
Yes, on a few cases, but I've not really.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I don't put that out there. I tend to keep a lot of my opinions to myself. Because if I start putting my opinions out, I'm going to lose a lot of people looking at maybe other cases that I'm working on, because we might not all believe the same case here or the same case.
Totally understand.
So I have to kind of keep my research to myself a lot of the time. But there are cases that I think are hoaxes, or they're just embellished or something. But yeah, it's tough, man, because you know, I might get to the point where I don't believe something, but then 5 years later a new piece of evidence comes around that completely flips my mind again. So it's really tough, man.
Speaking of hoaxes, one of the biggest stories this month at least has been the Travis Walton case came back in the news, and now a lot of people are saying that it was a hoax. Maybe Travis has been lying. What's your opinion on that?
I think it's still a developing story. I think we need to hold off a little bit before forming a completely solidified conclusion on that one. I'm about 50-50 still, because I've been speaking to a lot of people on the side who have got some testimony and potential evidence to push it in the hoax direction. But then again, Travis has been speaking this week. And I can understand his point of view about why people might be just trying to discredit him for financial gain, for personal vendettas. I think more is going to come out on this story in the coming weeks. So that's one I'm going to just continue to follow very closely.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear that. I liked his, did you listen to his Joe Rogan interview by any chance?
Yeah.
I liked that. He's an interesting speaker. It was a good episode. I don't know where I stand on that. I mean, it is, when you think about, like, okay, he was abducted for 5 days, you know, like he had all of his friends basically said it, but then some of them on the lie detector test passed and some didn't. Right.
Yeah. But then there's multiple lie detector tests. Then you've got to ask the way that some of the people that were performing the tests on them were manipulated in the way they were asking the questions. There are so many in-depth little things that a lot of people don't pick up on, you know, and it is one of them things that I don't expect people to pick on, because not everybody's sitting there doing the deep diving research, you know, on, you know, everyday people just see the basics and then form a conclusion. It's a tough one, man.
Yeah. So Vinny will keep us posted on that. What's your feeling on the rebranding of UFOs to UAPs? Do you think that's ever going to stick? Do you think we're officially going to call them UAPs from now on? Or do you think that's just like,
They've actually, the government, the military have been using UAP since the 50s.
Really?
You know, yeah, a lot of people think it's the new thing. It's certainly not a new thing. What it is they've rebranded it, as you say, just to make it more palatable and able to be spoken about within the ranks of the government and the military, because of the stigma attached to the word UFO. It's just automatically people roll their eyes and like, oh no, here we go again. Whereas UAP, you can kind of get a bit further in the conversation before people switch off, and that's jumped over into the public domain and the way, you know, the media pick up on it. And I think it's worked. So what I've done personally is when I'm talking about a case maybe pre-2000, I'll pretty much use the phrase UFO. If I'm talking about a more modern case, I'll use the phrase UAP. So I've kind of fixed it to go along line with what the government and the military have been doing. So I think people make that more palatable when we're talking.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm gonna try that too. I'm gonna try to appropriate the right terms for the right cases. Right,
that's it. That's a smart way to do it.
What do you think about Avi Loeb's new Galileo project?
Yeah, it's really great. When that was announced, what, only a few days ago, and yeah, I was lucky enough to have an opportunity to speak to Professor Loeb. And when looking at the Harvard website, you see that there's three avenues that they're going to be looking into. They're going to continue looking out into the solar system for objects similar to Oumuamua that have come in from interstellar space into our solar system, which is great. Then they're going to be looking a lot closer to home to potentially capture high definition images of UAP, you know. And then the third thing is capturing something that may be sort of lingering in low Earth orbit or general Earth orbit, but that are particularly small, like so a meter or less, which could then potentially be some kind of extraterrestrial satellite or probe, you know. So three different avenues. They've got a great team behind them. They've got the funding now. I think they're going to keep getting funded. So I'm hoping that it's going to be something big. Their network of sensor arrays is going to start spreading out across the globe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just purely an exciting time to see science taking it seriously.
It really is. Where do you think we're going next? Do you think that finally we're going to have some news come out of either like recovered craft, or do you think we're going to have like maybe more of a clearer photo? What, in your opinion, is next?
Yeah, both of those things are very highly potentially likely to come next, whether it be a high definition photo or video. But also, there's so much talk in back channels at the moment about who or what the government have seen and have, and whether it's just debris, whether it's a full craft and that. There's so many things being talked about that I'm hoping something comes out. We've got a new generation of people looking into it, researching it, investigating it. People like Ross Coulthart from Australia, he's come onto the scene recently. He's making some waves in them fields. So yeah, we got to get something soon, man. It's going to come. It's going to come.
Do you think that all these incidents, especially the Tic Tac, the gimbal, the triangle UFOs, do you think that they are all related to the same intelligence consciousness controlling them?
We don't know. Obviously, we don't know. But there are, you could easily say, well, they could quite easily be from different areas, from different beings, races, dimensions. But then Lou Elizondo quite cleverly put it that you might see an orb and then you might see a cigar and you might see a triangle, and they can form and change shape and manipulate how you see them. They could be that so far advanced that they really could be something that we cannot comprehend as far as what they do, what they look like. So it's early days and the theory's been worked on about that, whether they're connected or whether they aren't. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not necessarily terrified of them, but I, you know, it does keep me up at night, like not knowing like who's controlling that. Right. And I feel like we're honestly missing such a big part of our story because it just makes sense. Right. In the Nimitz case, the Tic Tac UFO appeared at the cap point of where their plane was going. Right. So it has to know what the plane knew, right, and where they were going. So in my mind, these things are 100% intelligently controlled, and I think they're somehow connected to consciousness on a larger level. And it's crazy to me that on this planet right now, disclosure is being done by just like a group of like 40 to 50 people that literally might have the answers to our existence, which is bananas, right?
Yeah. But then also, I think a lot of people are coming, a lot of leaks have come out in the past few months, let's say. Yes, we've got the stuff from Jeremy Corbell, which a lot of people aren't really convinced on. You know, I'm a big proponent for, if the data is there, bring it out. And he's done that. Now, he didn't ask for that data to be given to him. I'm sure he'd prefer to bring out something a lot more conclusive, but he's doing his due diligence in bringing that stuff out. I think we're going to see stuff leaking from the annexes within the government and the military coming to other people that aren't connected, other researchers possibly. I think that's going to start happening more. So the power is going to be taken away from the government, who are holding all the secrets, you know.
Yeah. And I'm excited. We got a lot to look forward to, guys. Vinny, what's coming up for you? What do you want us to watch? You got any big projects coming up? What's going on in the next couple months?
I'm just continuing with building the YouTube channel as well. I've got some pretty big guests coming up in the next few days. And then I'm doing my second YouTube channel with Max Moskowitz, where we focus on European UAP cases. And we interview pilots and people that have experienced stuff all across Europe and that. So that's good. Yeah, there's a talk of a lot of other projects, but unfortunately nothing I can reveal at the moment, unfortunately. Yeah,
of course, of course. Well, hey, hats off to you. I think what you're doing is great. You know, I'm on the team 100%. I think the world needs more people like you. And, you know, I'm trying to go into that space too. So, you know, I'm going to continue to do what I can to push the word. And yeah, we just want to say thank you so much for hopping on. We had such a great time connecting with you. We hope you have a great night, Vinny.
Thank you so much. It's been my absolute pleasure. And yeah, we'll stay in touch, obviously, man.